Hello, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer.
Hi, David. How are you? That music is just wonderful. I mean, I think any wife would have the same reply to contrast that amazing riff with my husband, the nerd. It's just
I gotta say, I think it's one of it's the best intro of any of these podcast video things going. Well done, congrats to Sean for putting it together. So look, we gotta talk about Dr. Fauci. We're gonna get to Dr. Fauci in a minute. But before we do that, just want to say to everybody, I want to thank everybody, I'm sure you do as well, Alana, who have been watching our stuff, especially over in Rumble. We've been getting some major interaction over there. So a big shout out to all the Rumble folks. Thanks for supporting Alana and myself. Really,
David, we want to encourage Rumblers because YouTube is ever waiting to access. So yeah, Rumble's a wonderful surprise. Unlike Parler, I mean, that is, for me, that is dead.
Yeah, I think Parler's a zombie platform now. I just think,
put. The living dead and the hashtags are all Republican. It's like Fox News, you know, Christianity. What else? The hashtags are so...
Trump won.
The hashtags are fossilized. At least the ones I come in touch with. But I'm dormant there.
I'll tell you, Lana, actually, one of the things, just before we get on to Dr. Fauci, before we get to him, the good doctor.
It's a Faustian bargain. That's a good one.
Oh, it absolutely is.
That should go on our title, the people and the politicians. It's a Faustian bargain, yeah.
I was going to ask you, what did you think of, I mean, were you heartbroken when Facebook went down yesterday for, was it 5 or 6 hours? Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp all went down for 5 or 6 hours, and some people didn't seem to know what to do with their lives. How did you feel about that?
I didn't notice. I didn't notice at all because I don't frequent them. I post my work, and I think anyone, it's within your, all these hearings simply show how inept and how helpless, and this feeds into the Fauciism that we're going to discuss now, David, how helpless we are and how we need our politicians to save us from Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. Facebook has designated me as spam, improper. My highbrow website is deemed by these slumdog content producers as not fit, and so I'm banned. All my website, my websites and my hyperlinks are banned. So I post my column, which is usually featured on about 6 other prominent websites, and I leave it. I don't discuss things. I don't engage. I find Twitter is actually something I miss much more. Oddly, it's a very clever platform, and I'm still grieving your absence. But I didn't feel anything. Of course, as someone who has relatives and friends overseas, I do use WhatsApp. So
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I've got to admit, I mean, I despise Facebook. I have to, as you know, despise Facebook. I despise Twitter, and I despise YouTube. I despise Silicon Valley. Here I am, Silicon Valley. Well, Twitter's already banned me. As you said, YouTube don't want people like me or you or many others on their platform. But there's lots of new tech emerging. So like yourself, I was not exactly heartbroken when
I didn't notice. In fact, I even doubted it was down. I thought it could have been the cache in my computer. I didn't refresh, but I looked and it was there. It's probably my cache, and I just went on with my day.
So, hey, the other one, before we get to Fauci, there's a couple of things. Hey, Alana, I didn't realize that this guy, Brandon, seems really popular in the States, because I keep reading social media about "Let's go, Brandon." Everywhere Joe Biden goes, people chant "Let's go, Brandon." Have you seen that one? Or can I tell you about it? Can I tell you about it?
I've heard a different refrain. Oh. But I mean, that's one I perfectly understand, and I'm happy to repeat it. I saw actually Laura Ingraham, who really, there's no information to be gleaned from that program, because she, Tucker's a marvelous interviewer. She speaks over everybody, and there's zero content. Usually, sometimes she comes up with stuff, but her voice is what she needs to hear, and there's just no information from anyone. But I saw her. There's one gentleman she does let speak, and that's her sidekick, Raymond Arroyo. Very a jovial, nice gentleman. Yeah. But she was blushing like a bride at this chant, and said, "Oh, she doesn't approve of fuck Biden."
Yeah.
So, which I approve, and I think that
the
word is perfectly good. If D.H. Lawrence could use it in Lady Chatterley, that's fine by me. It's an honest good word when used judiciously. So yeah. Laura Ingraham was blushing like a bride. She did not approve of those chants. Did you, David? What do you think? I mean,
I absolutely approved of them. And what made me laugh also was the fact that Biden himself, he couldn't understand why with 81 million people having voted for him, he can't understand why it is, Alana. Everywhere he goes, people are chanting that. it sort of speaks to, I don't know, there's a line of American rebellion in that, which I completely and absolutely approve of. And I'd like to see the British version of it when it comes to Boris Johnson. But we're so meek and mild over here, we're not going to get it. But yeah, it's fantastic. So that's the preamble, Alana. That's the preamble out of the way. So there we go. So what we're going to do, folks, is I wanted to talk about, well, Dr. Fauci, sort of. And really what triggered the conversation I want to have with Alana, because I do think there's a hard truth in it, is this. I'm going to play a little clip, and then I'm going to show a little meme. So we can just set up the clip to start with. This is Dr. Fauci speaking.
Society. Hopefully. And as a member of society, reaping all the benefits of being a member of society, you have a responsibility to society. And I think each of us, particularly in the context of a pandemic that's killing millions of people, you have got to look at it and say, there comes a time when you do have to give up what you consider your individual right of making your own decision for the greater good of society.
Okay. And then if we can just segue into this clip, I want to get the clip up. And this, of course, is Ben Franklin. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So, Alana, we've got Fauci and we've got Franklin. Fauci and Franklin.
Fauci is an a-hole. The sanctimony that oozes from the man. But Fauci is just a medicrat. A medical bureaucrat run amok. I mean, who is responsible for unleashing this person on us, creating a saint out of him? It is the people who represent us who actually don't represent us. So he's not a serious man. He's totally out of his depth, speaking about political philosophy, individual rights, constitutional rights.
Yep.
He's strayed well beyond his mandate. And I think Ben Franklin, very early on in the debates about the Constitution and the ratification, warned about that very early on. He saw it was coming. These were highly intelligent people. So actually, speaking about intelligence, the other day, a Republican Congress, I think it was a Republican, no, it was a Democrat congressman who was saying something about, he mentioned the founders and said the founders knew about fractions. Right. These mathematics, some of them, if you've seen Thomas Jefferson's Home, this guy was an inventor and a mathematician. Fractions, apparently, according to this Democrat, mathematics was only invented in the late 1700s. I mean, so we are an idiocracy, and we've let this sanctimonious idiot Fauci stray and lord it over us? Who's at fault here?
Well, that's an interesting analysis of it, Alana, because essentially, I mean, Fauci was espousing collectivism. You know, the individual has to give it up for the greater good. And that's obviously something which is that is the road to perdition and the road to hell. And I can remember back, 25 years ago, when I was one of the people who was arguing against, at that time, something called the Belfast Agreement, which was bringing so-called peace to Northern Ireland. I disagreed with it because it meant appeasing terrorists, which I was morally opposed to. And I remember I used to quote that Ben Franklin quote quite a lot, trying to explain to people that you shouldn't give up that essential liberty just to buy yourself a little something. But in Fauci's case, you can't even buy anything, because by his own definition of what he's offering in terms of, you know, the jabs and the booster jab, what are you buying? Nobody can be absolutely certain they're buying anything. And yet you have to give up your individual bodily autonomy, Alana, and it's wicked. It's beyond wicked, and it's anti-American. And as you said, how could someone like that be put in that position? But of course, you've answered my question, haven't you?
Well, individual liberties are the cornerstone of the American system, and I even hate calling it a system because it's a philosophy, really. But a lot of people have made the point, and someone on, I think it is a rapper. He says he's English, but he sounds American, a man called Zuby.
Zuby, he's English. He is English.
But yeah. His accent is pure American, David.
Yeah, what rapper, you
what's
know?
Up with that? No, but yeah, he speaks a good English. He speaks, he's a very intelligent gentleman. And he said, and he actually said he was ponderous. He said, you know, when we speak about the American people and our liberties, very few people are attached to those, and that's the point he made. He said he's long ago concluded that a lot of people will give up a lot for that extra check, that buy-off from the welfare state. And that's where we're at, where we are. I think liberty is very fragile, because I think Thomas Friedman, the economist, said collectivism is based on emotion. It appeals to emotion. And liberties are highly, you know, we are depicted as the mouth breathers, the stupid people, the unvaccinated, the deplorables, but liberty is based on reason, and it is a complicated concept. Reason is difficult to grasp. Liberty is difficult to grasp. So collectivism, you know, giving something for the warm smell of the herd, the warm smell of the herd. That's I think quite more intuitive. Maybe you're more positive about the human nature. I'm not.
I'm not sure I am. But I've got something in front of me. I wanted to read you. So this was one of my followers over on my Telegram page, and this chap sent me this. I'm going to just take a minute to read it out. This, because he had listened to Fauci, and so he was following, and he gets the collectivism stuff, and he was trying to explain it to other people, and he was struggling a bit, but he says to me, if you got a knock on the door this evening and answered to find people in white coats supported by police who asked you to confirm your name and medical details, they would then tell you that they estimate you have, say, 20 years left of your life. And they have a patient who, with heart and lungs, with your heart and lungs, could get an extra 15 years. And then they have another who, with your liver, could get an extra 10 years. And they estimate the success rate of the operations is 85%. So the benefits outweigh the risks. And you must come straight away. You ask if you can say first goodbye to your family, but they tell you, there's no time for that. And I thought it was a really interesting comment the guy dropped me. I mean, it's quite, you know, and there's reality in it. This is, you see, Alana, why I've not discussed this sort of previously, really, but I here in the UK at the moment, there's, and where I live, sorry, in Northern Ireland, they're trying to change the law, and they're going to succeed, so that when it comes to organ donation, you have to opt out. So the state claims your body when you die. The state has first dibs on your body. And I object to that. The state doesn't own me. It doesn't own one atom of me, and it never will. So I find all this abhorrent. What say you?
Well, it's. I hope you'll answer the question with the very difficult question there. Someone knocks on your door and asks for your organs, right?
Yeah.
Slam the door and tell them it's, you know, very funny prank and F off.
Yeah.
So the funny prank. I also have an objection to committing organs, not because I'm not generous or feeling or committing organs on a state document or a medical bureaucracy. I don't like doing that because it's always mediated by the state. And I don't know, I have this nightmare they're cutting me up live.
I don't want that either. The thing about it is, if it's voluntary, that's different. If you volunteer it, that is okay. To my mind, that's okay for people. But it's morally, but again, it's kind of this thing about the state asserting its right over you as an individual. And that's what Fauci's at as well, for the greater good, just, you know, roll over and let the state do what it wants to you.
But the creep since the slow creep of this mindset that the state has dibs over you, owns you, that you're not the owner of your body, has been creeping up since in gallops. Actually, it hasn't been such a creep. It's been more of a gallop in 2020. Yeah. You and I were joking about, we thought Israel was ridiculous when it instituted vaccine passports. And now we're rolling over and accepting this and accepting we might not be able to fly or take trains or, you know, living like hermits because you and I don't want to succumb. And the other thing, you sent me something, and this idiot says that we've put people that are trusted messengers in charge of messaging about the vaccine. We've made it easy, it's simple, it's free, it's safe. But they've recently shown, there've been quite a few on Unheard and as well as on Town Hall, there's been quite a few surveys to show that people with more degrees and higher intelligence, supposedly, are still skeptical because there is not sufficient data, longitudinal data about the vaccine. The fact that you've vaccinated hundreds of millions, but you're not keeping, you're not keeping track of the data, you're not reporting it journalistically. You have these, you know, these petulant big baby women are the guardians of COVID. They really are. We should do something about this, David. Look at the hierarchy of COVID. Who is enforcing this? It's women, worried women, not warriors. And in every country is these women who are telling us that we have to safety comes first to the liberty. Now, I agree, you and I disagree on some issues on COVID, right? And that's what makes the interaction exciting. Yeah. I mean, I think there's, I'll tell you, Fauci is responsible for at least 47,000 deaths.
Mm.
In March 5, I wrote this column. I did my research and I stand by it. I use the N95. I know you don't like it. Fauci was telling everyone that masks are ludicrous, ridiculous things. On March 5, and I did all the research. The N95 does block because the virus is indeed tiny, but it comes in sputum. The logic, you can't just state science. Science has philosophy and logic behind it. Deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning. That's why I do not, the right has its science, the left has its science, but there's immutable truth, deductive and logical thinking. And so some barrier is better than no barrier. A wall on the border is better than no wall, even though people get under beneath it, right? Freudian slip, excuse me.
Please. Freudian slip, yeah.
Producer, cut that out. So between Fauci was insisting, and I actually believe he believed that the right masks were useless. He just believed it. He afterwards claimed that he was being devious. He honestly, this man can get on television and say he knew there were not enough N95s. He didn't want people to go out and purchase them. He wanted the healthcare workers to have them. Now, I recall about 10 years ago, Chinese official did something very similar. You know what they did to him? They took him at the back and shot him in the head. Between March 5 and April 5, when Fauci admitted that masks, some masks serve as a useful barrier, 47,000 people died. March 5, there were about 3,000. April 5, there were about 50,000 dead. Is he not responsible conclusively for those deaths at the very least?
Well, that's right. I mean, you're quite right to bring that up, Alana, because he did do a complete volte-face as regards that, telling people. But I hadn't heard his excuse. He was doing it to protect frontline workers.
He did later because he realized how stupid he sounded.
Yeah.
Since time immemorial, we've been using barriers to separate people, and to separate under pandemic situations. Now, I think that when you use a really good mask, if it doesn't work, it's really secondary factors such as not using it properly, not fitting it properly, not using hygiene. I think there's a lot of secondary factors, like a wall. You know, you don't man it properly. There's not enough supervision. People, you still need a wall to be manned, right? So if you don't use an implement you have properly, you are going to get a product that might not be seen as working. But he actually said categorically, and most of the automatons, the medics that were front and center, the idiots we are still seeing, said masks are useless at this stage. They were not lying. There was no conspiracy. I believe they are. I take them at their face value. They are that stupid, David.
I think actually perhaps the Chinese understood that masks work, because I think we've read in the past day or so, did you see that they were ordering masks 6 months into 2019? Did you
see that? Singapore, Thailand all had very good results, very low COVID. They've always used masks because it's a very, they have that sort of mentality. They use masks in Asia. And they had very low numbers, yeah. Singapore, I think, sent an N95 to each household.
Yeah, I actually had lunch with a friend who lives out in Singapore a few days ago, and we were just talking about the Singaporean approach, which was very, very different to the approach that many Western countries took. But I think out there, they have more experience and understand how you deal with things like respiratory illnesses and whatnot, whereas we seem to just abandon everything that we knew, Fauci being a prime example. Fauci abandoned well-known practice. And
from the inception, I think that some mitigation is entirely reasonable. And I think it's more about comity than sacrificing your liberty. If I have to wear a mask around someone, I really don't mind. I wouldn't want to wear it for eternity. Some mitigation, but lockdown, that's where you infringe the right of the individual to go out and provide and to make a living. You own your body, any extension of it, the livelihood that body must generate, that was the gross infringement, was the lockdowns. And that's irreparable. But some mitigation I've always been in favor of.
Yeah, and I don't think we would particularly disagree with that. I mean, for example, I'm quite in favor of social distancing myself from very stupid people. I don't want to be near them. And now I can see the way they behave. I'm happy. I, even if it goes, I think I'll still operate it. But, you know, what you're saying there is, like, for example, you had the sort of the And the thing about masks being sort of not used when they could have been used, but Fauci saying one thing, and now here we have Fauci turning around and saying, yeah, well, actually, you know, you're going to have to give. So for lockdown, sorry, this was the point. For lockdown, you had to give up your right to go about your life and freely assemble. You had to stay at home. That's collectivism. That's collective punishment. And what Fauci's preaching now is collective punishment as well. And it appalls me because, you know, you got to wonder, Alana, where does it lead? What else? If you mentioned women being, you know, pretty horrendous, when the gatekeepers of COVID, brilliant expression. You look at Jacinda Ardern down in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. And look at where that one has gone. You know, New Zealand is a prison. It's one of the perfect, as is Australia. But so yeah. New Zealand, and she is relentless in her kind of contempt for the people of New Zealand. But then they vote for her. So, I mean, maybe they deserve all they get.
They have. Yeah. And we've voted for Biden, and many people agree with his mandates, even though he said he would not, he did not initially said, but they're liars. Politicians are liars. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm at a loss at where this mandate is going to lead. I just see our sphere of freedom being more and more curtailed. You can still travel, right? In England, you can still get on an aeroplane and without your vaccine status.
Yeah. But I suspect that will become very limited. And I suspect the time will come for those who are not jabbed. I don't like to use the word vaccine because this isn't a vaccine. The time will come when we won't be allowed to go on aircraft and possibly on trains or other forms of public transport. Now, I try to avoid public transport. Again, it's one of my missions in life. But if I want to fly somewhere, I've got to go on a flight. And I think that could become really problematical in 2022.
By the way, just to make a point about distancing, when you said you like distance, I think it's in one of my columns in April, I think 2000, I made the point that distance, some sort of civilized distance between strangers is the hallmark of a more civilized society. If you go to, I mean, I come from the Middle East, that's where I grew up. People are on top of you. You will find that if you stand in a queue, whether it's in the Palestinian Authority or Israel, people will be uncomfortably on top of you. So when you come to the Anglo or the Western world, there is distance between people. And to me, that's the hallmark of civilization. So those mild mitigation issues, I was not about to die on those hills. And I think conservatives damage, and they actually hurt vulnerable people, because I do believe some, you know, very obese people in middle America, the South, who flouted masks. I think they could have been helped, David. And to me, that was sad. But David, the issue of, first of all, we have to deal with treatment. I mean, there's never been a greater abnegation of the Hippocratic Oath and the admission of medicine. And imagine Fauci, if he, in the early day, when he supervised the HIV thing, and I kind of respected him in those days. Imagine if he had insisted on no treatment for HIV. There still isn't a vaccine, and only a vaccine. Yep. Imagine what would have become of so many sick people who now subsist on very good medication and get their T cells and CD4 cells high, and they live a good ripe old age with HIV. So imagine if Fauci had come out and said no treatment whatsoever, only vaccines.
Imagine if Fauci, if somebody said to people, sorry, you can't come into this restaurant unless we can have proof of your HIV status. That would be another interesting question to ask, wouldn't it?
But you're
right. I mean, Fauci, everything's about vaccines now. Here we are, Alana, and, you know, in October 2021, and vaccines have taken over the world in a way that I never imagined and I'd ever see in my life, and in a bad way, because it seems to be, as you say, shrinking the freedom of those people who have decided not to take the vaccine. I respect people who take it. I have no issues with that. But I expect that to be reciprocated. And it's
exactly,
not.
Exactly. It's yeah. Not. But you know, I'm quite hopeful that the market, you see that the market, thankfully we have a market. We still have pockets of freedom.
Yeah.
Yes, pharma is corrupt, agribusiness is corrupt, but we have great pockets of freedom, and there's enough, there are enough people that are not taking the vaccine. There is enough of a market to begin to generate therapeutics. And that's yeah. That's very hopeful. I mean, if we have 80 or 90 million in the US still unvaccinated, there are going to be therapeutics. And so I'm yeah. hopeful about that. But that so many people were sent home, wait until your oximeter, I have an oximeter, I have all the stuff that I need. Wait until your oximeter reads below 90, then go to hospital and die on a ventilator.
Which ventilator,
in itself, in itself is, you know, there's the concept of iatrogenic illness, illness caused by the doctor. The ventilator, as it's been found that it is it's a brutal intervention, right?
Brutal, yeah. The ventilators, you know, were absolutely killing machines. And, but
yes.
To go back, you know, but to try and I want to finish this off maybe the way we started. You know, we mentioned the Hippocratic Oath, you know, first do no harm.
Yes.
One of the most serious charges against people like Fauci is that if we look back over the last year and a half anyway, that's pretty much all they have done. They've harmed people in all kinds of ways, Alana, in the ways that you've talked about, in the ways I've talked about it. And sadly, a lot of the medical fraternity have gone along with it, often through fear. I think from speaking to, I speak to doctors, and a lot of doctors, I think like us, but they know if they step out of line, they're going to lose their job. And some of them are very well paid, you know. So
yes.
I do feel, I feel their pain. They want to be true to the Hippocratic Oath.
Yes.
But medicine doesn't seem to be about that in 2021.
No, and you can get away with pulling the God syndrome. You know, I'm the medic. I will speak down to you. The not realizing, you know, there are often amusing conversations online, especially around, you know, Steve Saylor and IQ and all that. Medical degree is nothing like physics, right? Or engineering. It's quite simple. I'm not talking research advanced degrees, but you know, if you have a degree in physics, you're up there.
You know stuff,
But medical degrees, rote learning mostly, analytical thinking. Like who was that doctor on the wonderful British actor that doctor that always solved all those problems. Oh, he was from one of those British sitcoms. Terrible. But anyhow, and most of them don't do problem solving and deductive.
No, they don't. Most
it's a degree that's quite simple. And here we are worshipping an expert class that isn't that intelligent either.
Absolutely. Well, that's not that that expert, because for example, I don't see how a doctor could have an honest conversation with a patient and not explain at least the risks of the so-called vaccines. And
David, there aren't any risks. There aren't any risks.
And no, doctors, Dr. Fauci told me there's no risks. In fact, Dr. Fauci told me the shots are so successful that once you've taken your first one and you've taken your second one, then you've got a booster one, maybe you're going to have another booster. And I believe Dr. Fauci, because he's the kind of guy that I think we have to look up to at this point, if we've had a lobotomy. But if we have actually a sentient mind in our heads, I think we have to question everything. And most particularly, this new collectivist mindset, which, Alana, just to finish on, like in the state, and you know, it depends which part of the world you're talking in, because the other parts of the world, collectivism is still okay. But in the United States, you know, I would have thought it was just so, it's the opposite of what the American mindset is. And yet it's now being pushed right down your throats, and you may not be able to avoid it.
Yes. You know, I have at least one older liberal friend who I didn't detect this collectivism. She's very liberal, but she seemed to respect individual rights. But slowly, Thatcherism has crept up on everyone, and I think even older liberals with a good feeling for individual rights that are, you know, the foundation of American thinking. But nobody teaches American thinking. You know, it's practically banned in schools. Discussion of individual rights. All you discuss is your privilege as individual rights are actually an extension of the white privilege thinking. You know, that is what is being taught. So the millennials and the younger generation is they are the enforcers. They have gone along with this COVID stuff.
Yeah, which is really sad to see in so many regards. But I think to wrap this one up, I mean, my take on it is that actually, Fauciism is potentially as big a menace as COVID-19. But the latter can be contained. I'm not so sure about the former. And that's what worries the hell out of me.
Yes, David, we're going to live with COVID just as we live with HIV. But how do we live with this new technocrat, the new medicrat, who's going to tell us what to put in our bodies, and maybe even corral us and Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, a constitutional scholar whom I quite respect. At one stage he said, yes, you can force the potion into someone's veins. This from a person who is so fearful that Alan Dershowitz does not believe that at his core, but he was enough of a clever legal analytical mind to make his constitutional beliefs comport with his request, his quest for collectivist safety, as you put it. So that's scary.
Yeah, but as Ben Franklin told us, there is no safety in collectivism, certainly not for the individual. And you and I are all about speaking up for individual rights and for the individual. So on that note, I think, Alana, we shall bring proceedings to an end. But a big thank you for being here. Thanks to everyone who's watched this or who listens to this. If you like it, make sure that you subscribe to the channels, whichever one those are. And we will be back to put the world to right again this time next week. So it's good night from me.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
See you next week, David. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.